It's Wednesday, so that means we talk agriculture with the experts from Brandt Consolidated. Joining us today, John Allen, Vice President of Agronomic Services for Brandt. And John, again, a little rain last night. For the most part, I think the crops are pretty much in, look pretty good. But we've noticed a few things changing the last couple of days.
Yeah, we really have, and it started over the weekend. We saw some rapid growth, and if you just stepped away for a couple of days and came back, you're pretty pleased with the way the crop looked. One of the things I'm noticing is the colors in some of these fields is inconsistent, and you know, you think about chlorophyll and rapid growing, and maybe getting a little bit of yellow cast to it, but there's some blotchiness in some of them, and I noticed some bean fields that don't have the green color, that deep green that we'd like to have. So I haven't talked to our agronomist yet about that, but I got some questions on my mind to figure out why some of them have got the beautiful uniform green color and some of them seem to be a little blotchy.
Well, and with that said, though, the one thing that I'm hearing, and we talked about it, I think, the last time we were on, but I'm hearing more and more about availability of certain products. How bad is it? And I've even had one person tell me that their supplier said, next year you need to order your chemicals now. What is going on?
Well, that's true. There is some real shortages, and the biggest challenges have been with glufosinate, of course, the active ingredient in Liberty, as we think about it, and kind of caught everybody off guard. You know, there'd been a little bit of discussion, not much, and then we got into April, and all of a sudden, BASF, the primary manufacturer, found out that their supply was way less than they anticipated, causing a lot of concern, a lot of knee-jerking in the market, and people were procuring gallons of glufosinate wherever they could, really turning over rocks that we hadn't in the past. At this point, I would say that there's probably 80% of the glufosinate there out there that we projected. Now, people have made some changes in their plans, and maybe where they've got some flex beans, they're going to, what I think is a wise decision, is spray dicamba the first trip out there and then come back with the Liberty product or the glufosinate for the rescue or second pass. And some people with two passes of glufosinate, we'll see how the supply is. But everybody's worked hard, and it helps it out. And the other one's glyphosate, your basic Roundup. Bayer, of course, the former Monsanto, has not been able to commit to delivery of all the loads that were ordered for most people, and generics are tight. I wouldn't say it's as tight as glufosinate, because there's been glyphosate around for years, and some of the nooks and crannies of some of these warehouses are probably scraping it out. But it's surprising, and I really think the traffic, most of it COVID-induced, and slowing down of manufacturing in China and other places, and then the ship traffic and those delays have contributed more than anything else to the shortage.
So that, what about some of the other products? I'm thinking, like, for example, the 2,4-D product to use in E3 beans.
I haven't heard of any shortages there. There have been questions about it, and it's what I've been made aware of so far, and I could giving you the information I have, hoping that you know what I know. I haven't heard any real shortages there. Fungicides have been challenging. We think that fungicide use for 2021 will absolutely be at the highest level we've ever had, with the crop prices the way they are and the results we've had with fungicides for the last several years. So that supply will be tight. And like you, I hear that there's some concern that some of the shortages could carry into 2022. Now, we had a discussion yesterday with one of our primary suppliers about that, and he said, he thought that maybe some of that talking about securing next year's supply may be a little bit of a CYA, that because we've having such challenges this year, that they're just using that that threat to induce maybe purchases. But who knows? Time will tell. It's certainly something we haven't dealt with for a long time.
So is currently the price reflecting that shortage as well?
Really, probably not to the extent it should, because people had commitments, and of course everybody will do all they can to honor those commitments. And the price of the generic products is probably, in some cases, come close to doubling. And the manufacturer's product, where the biggest shortages exist, haven't seen that significant of a price change because the supply doesn't exist. If they got it and they could come up with it, we'd probably see a ramp up in price. But the people, the generic suppliers, are kind of in a windfall situation, and they're taking advantage of it, and those prices have gone up considerable.
And is this something that, I mean, you mentioned, of course, China. How much, do you have any idea what percentage of our products that we use come from China in one form or another, either the active ingredient or the final product?
You know, I really don't, Roger. That's a great question. I think it's very high, and as you got me to thinking now, it may be a lot higher than even I'm thinking, because there's so many manufacturers that have sources and talk about getting their supply from China. Obviously, glyphosate, we know that from the generic perspective, that's been a key manufacturing point for years. And with the Syngenta, China owning a big part of the Syngenta stock, I don't know. I would tell you that it could be, I think it's large, and it could be very large.
And I guess then you mentioned fungicides as well. A lot of times, of course, when we start using those later on in the season here, particularly on beans, insecticides that go in with those, any shortages there at this point?
There has been some concern, and we have worked hard to get supply in place, and I'm sure all the retailers are following similar paths, and haven't had mention of it being to the very critical point that some of the other products have been. But I know that there's been comments made that it certainly wouldn't hurt to have your supply on hand and ready to spray, not sit back and just anticipate that it's going to be on the shelf.
And I guess then I have to ask as well, is some of the products that Brandt manufactures, the various, I think it's what, Smart Trio and some of those, how are your supply on those?
Well, actually, the Smart Trio, which is a really huge use product, and then we've got Smart BMO that is also a very widely used product. We've been pretty tolerable on those supplies. Some of the micronutrients, the EDTA micronutrients that we have that go on at planting or pre-plant, were severe shortages and delays in shipments, and from what I understood, that was a result of a lot of the ships sitting in the bays that couldn't get up to the port to unload, and so there were some real challenges on the water that led to not getting it in place to be packaged up within the states. But we're kind of past that, at least in our trade area. Got through it better than we expected 6 weeks ago. There were some real fears, but from a Smart Trio perspective, and our Smart BMO, Smart Sulfur, some of the products that we have high use of, word I'm getting now is that we're pretty good shape.
Well, that's good to know. And yeah, as you mentioned, those ships, that's what I had heard as well, is a lot of them, I guess, pandemic related. And that runs back to this question. And, you know, people, a labor shortage. And like with Brandt's, I mean, do you have a labor shortage in trying to get qualified operators?
Roger, it really is. It's just hard to believe how challenging it is to find workers out there. We've had several instances of people lined up for part-time work this spring and then actually decided not to because they were just as well off with the money they were receiving from the government to be at home. And you read all kinds of things about that not being the case, that there's not a lot of jobs out there. Well, we can tell you different. And when we talk to the people that we use as resources for employees or even part-time employees, they tell us that everybody's hunting. People just don't want to work out there, and we can't find anybody that wants to give up the situation they've got at home to go to work.
Oh, it's challenging. So at this point, then, we talk about the herbicide product availability and insecticide, but what's fertilizer going to be come fall?
Well, you know, we had big, big changes in fertilizer costs, particularly phosphate nitrogen coming out of the fall, and we were very fortunate. We had a big fall here and got a lot of those products taken care of. They're up. Relative to the grain markets and other things, I would say they're not. They're probably, if you want to put it in that type of equation, a better value now than they have been at lower prices in the past. But supply is, right now looks like it's going to be good. You know, they've got the barge traffic on the river running again now, and we've got big positions. The market seems to be quieted down some. I think that it's one of those things that we could get to run away with us and pull some triggers that we wish we hadn't pulled. So we're patient. We've got some supply in place for our customers, and I think that all things considered, we'll be fine this fall.
So that's, I guess, kind of in the context there, the purposes, you know, maybe would you seriously consider getting fertilizer booked? And then, as you mentioned, as we were talking about those herbicides, would you hold off on saying, gee, I've got to secure what I want for next year?
I think you need to be talking about with your herbicides and fungicides to your retailer and making sure that you've got your plans, remaining plans in place and products lined up so that if you're not doing something that you had prearranged with your retailer in the winter, I'd certainly want to be talking to them. From a crop nutrition standpoint, you know, we can go back to 2008, 2009. We had a huge run up of fertilizer prices that fall, and then they bottom fell out and it changed. A lot of people were left holding the bag was a bad case. So I don't, you know, most retailers have got a supply that's going to take care of their customer base pretty fairly, or really very fair relative to the market. I wouldn't want to speculate and go out there with the risk that we could have a market turn going into the fall. So I think I'd have a talk with my retailer about it, but I don't think I'd make any rash decisions.
Well, and it's you know, the timing of this, you know, like I think about as we were talking about the glufosinate and Roundup and the various platforms and trait packages that are out there in soybeans. I mean, this is the first year that we've seen more, I guess, adaptation of different products, so that, you know, a lot of guys, I'd be sitting here saying, well, I want to wait and see what the yield's going to be for next year to know what I'm going to plant, so thus I don't know exactly what kind of products I'm going to need to order.
Yeah, that's true, and I think that by the time that the season settles and we get this pandemic behind us, I think that there's some fear that exists now that may be calmed a little bit before we actually get to season. So I would say making decisions on what crop protection program or trait platform you're going to use isn't necessary to be made at this point. We do have a lot of diversity out there in traits, more so, as you mentioned, than we've seen. But I don't think we're in a situation where we've got to pull the trigger on those decisions yet.
Well, on this 26th day of May, anything else that that's going across your desk that your customers and listeners should be aware of?
You know, I think we've covered a wide range here and talked about most things that are on my mind. I think when we take a look, we got to feel pretty good about what we've got. We've got some replant going on, especially to get down towards Montgomery and Macoupin County, where we forced some things in a little bit. But overall, if you take a look at this crop for the 26th of May, haven't had the growth that we may have had, but in the corn is maybe older, got more leaves on it for its height than typically have, but we're pretty good shape. We certainly could be a lot worse off.
Right, although we're going to probably need those timely rains throughout the rest of the summer.
We really do, and we don't want to pass those up.
And again, our thanks to John Allen, the Vice President of Agronomic Services for Brandt's. And so we continue to hear the stories of shortages of products. Some are for real, maybe not as bad as some want to sensationalize them, but definitely some tightness in some of the products that are out there. With that, we'll wrap up this edition of Talking Agriculture with the Experts from Brandt's.